I have a question for you that I want you to think about before we move on. The question is this, okay? What dreams do you have? Dreams. Perhaps another word would be a goal, an aspiration, something that they're in your heart and it's been there for a long time. And maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe it was there when you were a kid. I don't know. But God has birthed a dream within you. Think about that for a second. For some of you, it might take a minute. Sit back and think. What was your goal when you were a child? What did you want to do? For some of you, it has to do with the talents that God has given you. Perhaps it was to be an artist. Perhaps it's to be a good parent. I mean, what are the dreams that you have in your heart? I'm not going to ask you to share them because, to be honest with you, if we're really honest, a lot of times those things are very sensitive and sacred to us. And maybe you have a dream within you since childhood, and you don't really want anybody else to know because that's precious, it's sacred, and it almost hurts to talk about and think about because it seems like so much time has gone by that you're never going to be able to realize that dream. There was a neat commercial a few years ago from Monsters.com. Monster.com, that's the job placement resume website. And it had an interesting commercial where they asked kids what they wanted to be when they grew up. Check this out. Bob, if you could help us with that first clip, that would be great.
When I grow up, I want to file all day.
I want to claw my way up to middle management.
Be replaced on a whim.
I want to have a brown nose.
I want to be a yes man.
Yes woman.
Yes sir.
Coming sir.
Anything for a raise sir.
When I grow up, I want to be underappreciated.
Be paid less for doing the same job.
I want sunshine blown up my dress.
What did you think? Any thoughts? Any thoughts on that? I love that little kid that said, "When I grow up, I want to be a brown noser." Like, who has that for a goal? Right? I hope Christopher doesn't have that. We'll talk today, Buna Day, Chris, if that's your goal. Listen, our dreams are important. Here's my premise today, that sometimes, not all the time, because listen, the Bible says we have wicked, evil hearts, okay? Sometimes our dreams are, they're not necessarily good, but I want to tell you today, as a Christian, someone who you've sincerely asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you're following after Him, okay? The Bible says that you receive the Holy Spirit at salvation. That He's the third person of the Trinity. He lives within you, okay? And He gives you dreams and ideas and things that come from Him. And there are going to be times in your life where you get goals, visions, aspirations, dreams that emanate from God. What are you doing with those dreams? We're going to look at a man named Joseph from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 37. You can turn there. His story is long. It really takes us throughout the end of Genesis. So you're lucky it's Buna Day or we would read 25 chapters, whatever it is. So we're not going to do that today. We're just going to read a portion of his story. Then I'm going to share his story and some principles that happened. Chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible. praise you, Lord. We're going to look at verse 5. Genesis 37, verse 5. Joseph was the son of Jacob. Joseph had, at this point in the story, 11 brothers, 10 older than him. He was the 11th kid. And there was one more after him, baby Benjamin, who was still at home in the crib, hanging inside. Joseph's brothers did not like Joseph. Let's just be real for a second before we move on. Anybody, who's the youngest? Can I say who's the baby of the family? Okay. Who's the oldest in the family? Okay. Out of your brothers and sisters. Okay. Sydney, since your brother is here, you're not allowed to answer this, okay? Because you're still, you can get in trouble, and I want to keep you from getting in trouble at this point. Okay. But how many of us, I was a firstborn, how many of us older kids, you had a hard time liking your little brother or sister? Anybody? If we're just honest, it was just difficult at times, yeah? If we're just honest. That's why I said, Sydney, don't say anything. I don't want you to get in trouble. My little brother, Mike. Love Mike. But growing up, man, he was the little brown noser. He just was. And if he was here, he would know that, because we still say that to him. Yeah, he was. Man, if we did anything wrong, he was in the house telling Mom, like, we could break something outside, and he's telling Mom before the pieces, like, hit the ground. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And it's difficult. Joseph was that little brother. Joseph, the verse 2 through 4, it shows us this picture of his brothers hating him because part of the reason was he was favored. He was the little brother who dad, it said his dad loved him even more than the other ones. That's enough as an older brother to make you not like the younger one, right? And then he was always ratting him out. His dad would send Joseph on missions to come back and tell him what everybody else is doing. So he was the little informant. I learned a term at a store that I worked at where we had a guy who did that. And we called him the cheese eater because he was the little rat. And he would run, and he's trying to get people in trouble. Anybody know anybody like that? So that's Joseph. Okay, plenty. A little cheese eater. That's Joseph. He grew and he matured, okay? But that just gives you a picture of his personality. But he was a man, nonetheless, that God gave a dream to. God gave a dream to him that would come to pass. God birthed something within his heart, and through time, Joseph would mature and would become the man that God's called him to be. Let's take a look at this dream. Genesis 37, look at verse 5. One night, Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. His brother responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon Joseph had another dream, and again he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I've had another dream," he said. "The sun, the moon, and 11 stars bow low before me." Verse 10. This time he told his dream to his father as well as to his brothers, but his father scolded him. "What kind of a dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. He had these dreams birthed within him from God. Okay? He didn't know what they meant, but he had these dreams. His brothers were hacked off. So let me give you the end of the story, and then we're going to look at the middle of the story and make applications to our lives. The end of the story is Joseph ends up in Egypt. He ends up being the second in command of the Pharaoh, who was the king. Joseph, God would use him ultimately to help the country and the nation, and really all the nations in the area, through a very bad famine. God would use Joseph in his wisdom that God gave him to set aside food during years of plenty so that when the famine hit, he would have food stored to be able to feed all the people in the area. At that time, there was a really, really, like I said, the famine was severe throughout the land, and Joseph's brothers and father ultimately ended up in Egypt, where they would, in fact, bow down before Joseph because Joseph's reigning in control. And Joseph would hug them, and they would get food, and their family would be reconciled. That's the end, okay? Great, powerful story. I want to encourage you to read it sometime in Scripture. One of the best sections as far as the story of somebody's life, I think, in all of the Old Testament, beginning at Genesis 37 and onward. So let's take apart what happened in his life, okay? How did he go from the boy with the dream to the man serving God and the dream being fulfilled? Well, this is how it went. Didn't go real well at first. Joseph, again, told his brothers were hacked off. They wanted to kill him. One day, his dad sent him on the cheese-eating mission to check out what his brothers were doing to rat them out and come back, let them know if they're really working or goofing off on the job. So Joseph is out with his dad's order to check up on his brothers. His brothers are mad, okay? They take him, they basically whoop on him, and they were going to kill him, but instead his one brother, I believe it was Reuben, if I'm remembering correctly, one of his brothers nonetheless didn't want him to die because, dude, this is our brother. We can't kill our brother. So they found a big hole. They tossed him in the hole. They're like, well, now what do we do? They ended up selling him to slave traders that were going by. And they took his jacket, killed a sheep, poured blood all over it, and took it back home to say, wild wolf ate little Joey. Sorry, pops. And that's what happened, okay? Sorry. Now, if you're an older brother, Sydney, you can't come home with Mason's jacket and cover it in red paint and say, sorry, a rabid raccoon ate little Mason while you got him tied up in the basement. You shouldn't do that. Now I'm giving her ideas. Don't do that. That's what they did, though. Sorry, little Joey got killed, Dad. No biggie, though, right? And anyways, Dad, of course, was heartbroken. Okay, but here's the first part of the story that I want to share. He had this dream, okay, that God gave him. He wanted it with all of his heart for it to come to pass. And the first obstacle in this dream was his family. His own family did not believe the dream. They would have none of it. Now let's step back and apply this to our lives. What dreams have you had in your life? What dreams have you had in your life that perhaps your family said, that's stupid? And they just totally cut you off because they didn't care enough or they didn't believe you were smart enough. Right? That happens, don't it? I hate when I hear parents who call their kids names and say they're not smart enough and they're not able to do things. That's just not true. His family rejected him. Sometimes an obstacle to our dream is our family. Moving onward, let's look at his story again. He's sold to these traders who took him to Egypt, a far distance from his home, and is actually sold into slavery, okay? And he ends up at a man named Potiphar's house. Here's the next obstacle in his dream. Life happens. He had no control over what was going to happen in his life when he went from the slave traders to the Egyptians, did he? He wasn't in control. things outside of his control could have been a major barrier to him realizing his dream. It wasn't just his family, it was just life. Let's look at this in our level here. Sometimes with dreams that we have, life gets in the way. Anybody ever notice that? That maybe for some people your dream, let's just say for example, is to be an artist. And maybe your family said that's stupid. You're not any good anyway. It's a waste of time. Get out there and take over the family business. And you want to be an artist. And God has gifted you and gave you talent to do this. And your family ignores you. And then another obstacle could just be the busyness of life. Perhaps somebody dies. Perhaps a parent gets sick and you don't have time to fulfill your dream because now you have to take care of others who need you. Perhaps as a parent you had dreams and before you know it you got married and you had children. And if you've ever had kids, it changes your whole life, doesn't it? Changes your schedule. You just don't have the time to do the things that you've wanted to do before. It's not that kids are bad, kids are great. It's just different. Listen, sometimes the barrier to our dreams is life, isn't it? Sometimes stuff just happens. Moving on with Joseph. Joseph is in this man named Potiphar's house. Joseph's serving Potiphar. He's there for a period of time, and in fact, he is promoted because he works hard, he loves God, and God has blessed him. He's promoted to be in charge of Potiphar's whole house. And what happens? Anybody? What happens? Potiphar's wife looks at little Joey. This time he's a young man. And says, man, he's hot. I've never said that in my life. He's hot. Man, take that out. That's just felt weird. Nobody sample that when it gets on the internet. Don't cut that phrase. Okay. But that's what she said. She looked at him and said, man, there's a dude I like. And she tried to seduce him multiple times. Now Joseph, because he was a man of God, knew that was his boss's wife. Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever have your boss's wife chase you around? Be careful. Joseph said, no, 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 no. This made her mad. And eventually, she yelled and accused him of trying to come on to her. Accusing him of trying to rape her. Because he wouldn't go through with it, she said, well, I'm going to get you in trouble anyway. And Joseph ends up in prison for attempted rape, and he didn't even do anything. Remember his dream that God gave him? Another boundary, another barrier to his dream was persecution for righteousness. Was because he wanted to live according to the way God would have him to live. And that interfered with his dream. Because he was doing the right thing. How can we apply that to our lives? Listen, that happens sometimes. Perhaps, you know, let's use the analogy of the person wanting to be an artist. And years down the road, somebody comes over and says, hey, I can give you art lessons. But it's a little shady. You know? Your teacher's weird. Would want you to do things that you do not want to do. Perhaps it's whatever. It could be things in a sexual nature. It could be a guy likes to smoke dope. It could be whatever. And you're just like, no, this is weird. Or, you know what I mean? And you're just like, this isn't the way. But wait, maybe this is God's provision, although it's kind of weird. You know? Joseph said, I will not do things that are contrary to what God would have me to do. And he walked away. In your life, perhaps a barrier to fulfilling a dream that you have could have been doing the right thing. That perhaps you wanted to be, say, an electrician. And you get hired, everything's going well. And your boss is crooked and shady. And he wants you to do things, you know, a little shady, a little off. Rip people off. And you, as a man of integrity, say, God isn't calling me to rip people off. You might have to quit that job. But wait, isn't this the fulfillment of your dream? Well, you know what? What's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and we don't live according to our dreams, we live according to the Word, don't we? So there might be times that a barrier to your dream is doing what God has called you to do, doing what's right, being honest, being a person of integrity. And when you do that, to be honest with you, I think the Lord will always bless you for it, even if it doesn't seem like it on the surface. So Joseph, let's back it up. The first barrier was his family, right? The next barrier was just life. Just stuff happens outside of your control that can squash your dreams. The third one we just talked about, what was it?
Persecution.
Right, persecution, yeah. Sometimes doing the right thing will get you in trouble. But guess what? We still need to do the right thing, don't we? As believers, we should, right? Okay. Moving on, he's in prison. Okay? He's in jail. He gets promoted in jail. He's kind of running the jail from the inside. We see God's hand of blessing on his life. Eventually, there's two guys in jail that have dreams and he interprets the dreams for them. God gives them the interpretation. They get sprung from prison and they go back. Actually, the men who needed the interpretation worked with the king, the Pharaoh. So he gives the interpretation, and the interpretation for the one guy says, you're going to die, sorry. The other guy, funny story, you got to read it. Because the first guy's interpretation is, God's going to bless, or the Pharaoh's going to take you out, and you're going to be restored to your old job and found innocent. Yeah, and the next guy says, wow, that was good. Give me my interpretation. And Joseph's like, you're going to die. And the other guy, you can just see him smiling and be like, what? That wasn't... The last guy was good. Give me his interpretation. So anyway, it comes to pass because it's from the Lord. The next day, the Pharaoh, the king, calls them out. The one guy is found guilty of his crime and executed. The other guy is raised to his post. Before they leave, Joseph says, hey, when you get out, remember me. Guess what? They didn't. The man didn't remember and went back to work. Joseph's in jail again. Next barrier to Joseph's dream. People forgot all about him. People forgot all about him. Forgetfulness. Joseph's in a prison still. His dream has not come to pass. People forgot all about him. Perhaps some of you with your dream that God has placed in your heart, time has gone by and you feel that people forgot all about you. Perhaps people promised you things, whatever it was, and you feel like you've been forgotten. That happens, doesn't it? Joseph did not let that barrier to his dream stop him. I want to encourage you. If your family has rejected you, if life has just gotten in the way, if perhaps persecution because you were moral was a barrier to your dream, or for perhaps people have forgotten about you, I think if your dream is from the Lord, He still wants you to fulfill that dream. Let's talk about forgetfulness for just another minute here. Sometimes other people may have forgotten about you and moved on. Listen, sometimes the problem is you've forgotten your dream yourself. Sometimes the Lord has birthed dreams within you that He wants to come to pass. And you've allowed other stuff to make you forget all about it. And if you pause and reflect, you know it's there. Don't allow your own forgetfulness to cover up that dream that God has placed within you. Moving on with the story, Joseph finally, in his story, he gets out and things go well for him. The Pharaoh has a nightmare. Nobody can interpret his dream. And finally, the one guy says, "Oh, forgot. Joey knows how to do that. He's been in prison for 5 years. Maybe we ought to get him out. Forgot all about Joey." And they call the warden. Joey gets sprung, interprets the dream, ends up, because of the wisdom and again the favor God has put upon Joseph, he gets promoted and ends up being in charge of all of Egypt underneath of the king. You see, because the Pharaoh's dream, the king's dream, was there's going to be a famine. What do we do? Joseph interprets it, and the Pharaoh says, "I need somebody to run my kingdom to help me get through this famine. You doing anything? I'm in prison. Now you're not. Work for me." And ends up being in charge, and I already told you the end of the story. The family ends up coming back because there's no food anywhere. The only place with food is Egypt. Joseph's in control of all the food. They come down, bow before him. "We're sorry for throwing you in the hole and saying we killed you or saying you died and all that stuff." And Joseph cried. And in tears, he says one of the most profound things in all of Scripture. He hugs his brother and he says, "I forgive you guys because what you meant for evil, God meant for good." That this was all part of God's plan. None of us knew it, but it's okay. Because God worked His plan through this situation, and it saved a whole lot of people. What they meant for evil, God meant for good. His plan was fulfilled. So here's the message for you today. What is your dream? What is your dream? Whatever your dream is, I think this first Sunday as we start September, as we start the fall season within our church, as football season is kicked off, right? Eagles play 1 o'clock. Still come to Buna Day, though. That's what VCRs are for. Listen, right? As we start this new time, I think for some of us here, maybe all of us, God is calling us to begin to relive or realize our dream and begin to walk out in those things. We need to do that. But, as I said earlier, our hearts are deceitfully wicked, aren't they? So we can't just sit back and say, whatever dream we have is a good dream and it's from God. You can't do that. Because there have been people who have said things like, "God told me to leave my wife and go off with my secretary." Let's just talk about this. Is that God? No. Why would God not tell you to do that? Because it's in His Word. When you're married, it's till death do you part, right? It's in His Word. This is the litmus test, okay? This is the way we determine if our dream is from God. Does it line up? First of all, step back. Are you a Christian? Okay, because if you're not a Christian, if you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you, the Holy Spirit does not reside within you, and you really can't trust your heart. Because you know it's not from the Holy Spirit, okay? Or it could be, but I'd be really dangerous. You need to receive Christ first. You need to ask Him to forgive you, to come into a relationship with God, which is the best thing you could ever do. The next thing, get into the Word. Does your dream line up with the Word? For me, leaving my wife does not line up with the Word. So no, I don't get to do that. Okay? Now let's just say I had a dream to be a scuba diver, treasure hunter in the Caribbean. And I always wanted to jump off a boat, swim with the stingrays, and look for treasure. That sounds cool, right? And what if, like, I thought about doing that as a kid, and now I'm like, you know what, I need to relive my dream. And today I leave my wife and leave my kid and begin driving, you know, that way to try and get on a boat, right? Is that what I'm talking about? No, why? Because to be honest with you, at this point in my life, I'm now married. I have responsibilities to my wife. I have responsibilities to my child. And I'm not telling you dads to leave your kids hungry, begging for food so you can go out and be a pirate or whatever you wanted to be as a kid. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? So if I hear somebody's like, one always wanted to be a cowboy, and all of a sudden I'm going to get a phone call tonight, gee, thanks, pastor, somebody left their family, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? God has called you to be a Christian. If you're a husband, God has called you to next be a husband. If you're a wife, to be a wife. Priorities, right? Christian, husband or wife. Father, mother, after that, right? And then other things could come after that. Your church service, your career, come after that. But your primary calling in life is to be a follower of Christ first, to be real with God, get into the Word, to be a spouse, and to be a parent. Everything else comes after that. So like cowboy, pirate, scuba hunter, Eskimo, whatever your dream was, paleontologist, if you become a parent, and I'm not saying you cannot fulfill your dream. Maybe you always wanted to move somewhere and do something, or maybe God's called you and put a dream in your heart to be a missionary or to go on a trip for a little while. Listen, I'm not saying that that's not from God. I'm saying you need to take into account that you're now a parent and that you're a spouse, right? You can't leave your spouse and run. It's going to involve your children, and you need to pray about that and weigh that out. And if it's from God, it's going to work out, right? Your kid will be scuba diving with you. Worked for Steve Irwin. Oh, wait, didn't, did it. Never mind. Yeah, watch the stingrays. That's why that's not really my dream, because I would be scared to death. Okay, so does it line up with the Word? That's important. Okay, moving on, and we're just about done here. But listen, what is your dream? What is your dream? I want to pray for you today that the Lord would begin to work in your life and give you dreams. Acts chapter 2 quotes a passage from Joel, where it talks about the gifts of the Lord in the last days. Acts chapter 2. I just want to read these few verses to you. It says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Listen, God is doing things in the world, and it always begins with a dream. It always begins with a seed in your heart. I'm the pastor here. We started this church a few years ago. When I was a little kid, there was two things that I did that I played for the most part. You play soldiers and stuff, but for the most part, I played with tractor and trailers. My dad drove tractor and trailer. He said I wasn't allowed to do that, so that wasn't an option in life. I wasn't allowed to be a truck driver. The next thing, because it was the Lord, it sounds crazy, but I played preacher. I don't know why, but I did. We would take the little trailers and stand them up, and that was my pulpit when I was probably this high. And I would break out my King James Bible, made my little brother Stephen sit on a pillow, and I would read a verse, not know what it says, and just scream it at him. And whatever it is, if you yell it, it sounds good. And, you know, he's okay. He's okay. That's just what I did. I don't know why. Well, I do know why. Because that was part of God's vision, God's plan for my life. That was a seed, right? Now listen, as I went through high school, went through elementary school, middle school, high school. To be honest with you, I kind of ran away from that. I wasn't following God. I always had that seed within my heart, though. I would never tell anybody because that was sacred, that was special. And you kind of feel embarrassed a little bit with your dream because you're afraid to say it because somebody might question you. You know what I mean? And from time to time, I would find myself saying, Lord, if it's you, it's got to come to pass. And I was just driving old hot rods and muscle cars from the 70s, which I still love. Wasn't involved. And the Lord had me made a wrong turn. I end up at Malaga Assembly. And then God called me to go to Bible college. I ended up serving with a youth group. I was serving in the youth ministry there, 10, 11 years, something like that. God called us to start the church here. Here I am. You know, things are going well, thank the Lord. I just share all that to say that was a little seed within me. And I thank the Lord that that dream came to pass. Because, to be honest with you, it could have been my family that got in the way, like Joseph. It could have been life that got into the way. I mean, I went to college for industrial technology. I have a degree in drafting that was going to take me in a whole different career level. I used to work with robots at Cumberland County College. And the Lord just, you know, ended up leading me back to the dream. It could have been that I forgot the dream, but I thank the Lord that I didn't. Sometimes I did, but it would come back. And other people forgot about me, but I didn't let that stop me. And you always try and do the right thing. I'm sure there were times when I was honest and persecuted, if you will, for righteousness' sake. And in some ways, that's not because of your job. In some ways, listen, your friends will disown you. Your friends will disown you because you don't do the same things they do. I want you to know, guys, as a Christian, listen, it's okay. If your friends say, you know what, you don't party, you don't drink, you don't do this and that, you're not taking advantage of women, you're terrible, you're not cool, and we think you're gay because you're not taking advantage of women, whatever. Whatever, don't listen to people. You don't have to do stuff. Girls, same thing. Listen, guys say that about you, who cares? Do the right thing and God will bless you. And you will never regret doing the right thing, but you will always regret doing the wrong thing. Always. What's your dream? Today, this message has personal applications for you. I want to encourage you, if it lines up with the Word of God, run after that dream. For some of you, that dream might be to get into the Word. Maybe for some of you, you've always said, I want to be somebody that knows my Bible, or I want to be somebody that actually reads the whole thing. I want you to follow that dream. What's holding you back? The only thing holding you back is you. Follow that dream. For some of you, the dream would be that you want to be able to sense God's presence more in your life. Perhaps for some of you, your goals, spiritual goals that you've had would be to fast one day a month or a day a week or maybe to give to missions or just to spend time in prayer or to walk in the gifts of the Spirit or to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or something. Your prayers get closer to God. What is your goal? What is your dream? Those kind of dreams are always from God. Because the devil will never put a dream within you to get closer to God or to give to missions or to go on a missions trip or to raise your children in a godly manner or to be faithful to your spouse. Those dreams will never be from the devil. Walk after those dreams. What are your other dreams? If God has given you the gift to paint, okay, and you always wanted to be an artist and paint, I want to encourage you to do that, to begin to follow the dreams that God has given you. If He's given you the talent and He's given you the heart to do that, do that. If He's given you the heart and talent to teach, do that. We need teachers at our church, do that. If God's given you the heart and talent to play an instrument, do that. Lord knows we need more musicians in our church. Do that. Do that. Whatever God has put into your heart, I want you to begin to think about those things and run after them. For some of you with kids who are older, maybe once your kids get out and go to college, maybe that would be the time for you and your spouse to do stuff. To go on a missions trip for a year, or whatever God's put into your heart. I don't know, but I want to encourage you to run after that. Because if it's from the Lord, we need to be faithful. Last verse I'm going to quote when we're going to pray is this. James, the book of James says this. If you know what God wants you to do and you don't do it, it is sin. Wow. If God has given you the ability to sing for Him and the desire to sing for Him and you refuse, that's not a good deal. That's in the sin category. Let's not be people who refuse to follow after our dreams, but I want to encourage you to follow after them. Amen? Amen? Do that. Let's stand together, and I want to pray for you before we go. Whatever dream God has placed in your heart, I want to encourage you. Listen, don't let any of those barriers stop you from doing what God's called you to do. If your family laugh at you and reject you, that's okay. Keep going. If time has gone by and life has affected that dream, still give it to the Lord and pray and say, God, is this something that I should still focus on? Is this dream from you? God will bring it to pass if it is. If others have forgotten you, or if you've forgotten it as well because it's too painful to think about, don't allow that to be a barrier from becoming all that God wants you to be. Don't allow persecution to keep you. Offering? Yeah, we'll do that. Thank you. Don't allow stuff to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Don't do that. Don't do that. And you know what? It's exciting to live this life with Jesus. He gives us the abundant life. And to be honest with you, if it's a dream from Him, once you step out in that dream, listen, you will come alive like you never have before in your life. That if God has given you a dream for abundant life, for the thing that He's called you to do, once you begin to walk in that calling, it's revolutionary. It's revolutionary. If you do that, God will bless you. Listen, and your life will never be the same. You'll never regret it. I want to encourage you to run after the things of God. Let's pray. If you're here today and listen, this is God speaking to you. I want to encourage you to right now begin to lay those dreams before Him and ask Him if this is what He would have you to do. Let's pray as a church. Jesus, we pray right now in Your mighty name, God. Lord, You are the God of dreams, Lord. You are the God who give us a vision and passion to live for You. I want to thank You that You haven't called us to a boring life. You've called us to a life that's awesome, a life that's filled with Your love and grace and peace, and we thank You for that, Lord. I pray right now, Lord, for my family and friends here and myself as well, God, for whatever dreams that You've birthed within us, even perhaps as a young child, God, that haven't come to pass, I pray, Lord, that we would give them to You, that we would ask You, Lord, is this something that You would have us to do? And if so, Lord, help us to run after You to see the fulfillment of our dreams. Help us, Lord, to do that, we pray. We want to be faithful to You, Lord. Perhaps there's people here now, God, that You've placed a seed within them to be pastors or missionaries. God, I pray that they would act out on that. Perhaps there's just those here who, Lord, who You're calling to be a better spouse, and their dream is to be a loving spouse, God. I pray that You would help them to do that, God. Perhaps there's those here who have been estranged with their family members, God, that there's brothers or sisters or cousins they haven't talked to in years, and their dream is to reconcile their family. I pray that this week You would help them to take steps towards that, God. Help, Lord, we pray. We trust You and we run after You. In the name of Jesus Christ, be with us. Amen.